My wife and I have been invited by the church in Mooreville to come and help them with developing a seniors fellowship and also a general help and assistance in developing disciples, making disciples. So we go there once a month and help them work. And one of the things we're doing is looking at developing seniors. And when Pastor Greg asked us if we would do that, my heart leaped, because here's what I see regarding seniors. You know, in the day and age in which we live, people that are 80 years old or 70 years old or 60 years old, all of a sudden, people who retire, it's amazing how many of them are put on the side shelf. And all of a sudden, they've moved from doing all kinds of work and you know, vision and habits of experiencing, you know, God manifesting His will for their lives, and they go from going from day to night to nothing. And you say, is that the way seniors are supposed to be? No. You know, there's not a magic. You know, when you turn 65, all of a sudden there's a line drawn in the sand, and now you can't see. You can't walk, you can't talk, you know. Now, some people, unfortunately, that happens because of age, difficulties that we can't understand all the time. But when people think that because you're retired, you're no good anymore, that's the wrong kind of thinking. You know, there's all kinds. So we asked everybody to fill out a card and say, in that church, there's 450 people, I think, and there's 100 that are seniors, and fill out your documentation here as to what you like to do. What do you feel God has called you to do and to be? What is it that fires your engine? What is it that excites you? You know, and some of you here today, you are already functioning in some kind of role, or maybe two or three. A lot of the seniors I talk to and speak to are one of many more. Amen. And there's a lot of people in our town, as well as your town, that are just gung-ho to go. Yeah, I want to get involved somewhere, but I don't know where to start. Well, listen, let's pray, let's seek God, and let's talk to one another. Amen. About what God can help us to do. And I think the other thing is that every one of you here today that are excited about your life, bless the Lord. Open your heart and let the Holy Spirit begin to lead. Get some counsel from your elders or people that are, you know, have significant time and value to give you, to bless you. And just listen to what the gospel says in the Bible. And here is Zechariah now going to back to his chapter 8, verse 14. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Just as I had determined to bring disaster on you and showed no pity when your ancestors angered me, says the Lord. So now I have determined to do good to Jerusalem and Judah. Jesus is, or God's talking here, and he says he's going to do good to Jerusalem and Judah. Do not be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Okay, so regardless of whether you're old or young, here's what you and I as God's people should do. Number one, speak the truth to each other. God, deliver us from lies. God, help us to be truthful, even if it doesn't make you look good. You know, what is the truth? And if you don't speak it, it'll catch up with you somewhere. And it'll be a whole lot less fun, probably, you know. Speak the truth. And render true and sound judgment in your courts. How many know that sound judgment doesn't always come to the courts today? But God wants you and I to promote that. Do not plot evil against each other. Wow. Don't plot evil, no matter why you think you deserve to. Don't plot evil to somebody. and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all this, says God. Wow. That's some kind of mantra. God hates all this. Oh boy, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be a prognosticator of lies. I don't want to be a person that's, you know, oh, there it goes, that person. You don't want to get near him because he just tells lies, you know. God help us. The word of the Almighty came to me, Zechariah again says. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th months will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. Haggai and Zechariah, both of them have wonderful names, celebrating life. and the Lord says, you know what? What he's saying here is he's chosen these two people because they are joyful and glad. I think that's Zechariah. And they're happy festivals. And that is Haggai. His name means festival, feast, and so on. And so they are becoming what they're named. Named by the Lord. You know that God's got a name on you? Amen. Other people may have too. And we can't always do anything about it. But what's important is, what does God think you are? God has given you a name. Amen. The word of the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Many peoples and the inhabitants of many cities will yet come. And the inhabitants of one city will go to another. Here we got Camrose going to Wetaskiwin. Wetaskiwin going to Ponoka. And they're saying, let us go at once to entreat the Lord and seek the Lord Almighty. I'm going. Will you? Wow. This is a powerful word. God's got a plan. God's got purpose. The Lord Almighty is being spoken of as the Almighty Lord by the people of that day. From one town to another. They're coming from cities and towns. This is what Asbury is happening right now. People are coming from, what, there's about 12 universities now that are experiencing revival? Young people falling on their face before God. This is incredible. And they're saying, let's go and treat or entreat the Lord and seek the Lord. I'm going, will you? Wow. I read this some time ago and I said, Lord, next time I go around the lake, give me the anointing and the power to speak to that couple. You know, the one that's got his dog on a leash. And sometimes those dogs are so small, sometimes I mistake them for mice. Yeah. And the poor little dog, this little feet are going. And you might have a dog like that yourself. But I just hope that nothing happens to them. So I'm going. I'm going to go to the revival. I'm going to go to the prayer room. I'm going to go to the woods and fall on my knees. And many people and powerful nations will come to Jerusalem to seek the Lord Almighty and entreat him. God says, I'm going to get the people to come. You just do your job. Amen? Entreat the Lord. Pray. Call upon his name. Make things right. If there's some things that you have missed the boat on or you stepped off happy trails, you know, and you got a little bit miserable and irritated, God help you to get on the track again. This is what the Lord Almighty says. We're still in Zechariah. In those days, 10 people from all languages and nations will take firm hold of one Jew by the hem of his robe. And these 10 people will say to this one Jewish man, okay, They'll say, let us go with you, because we have heard that God is with you. Do you know that Carmel's Central Community Church, I added another C there. You know that church there down by the railroad track? Those people have got something. There's something happening there. This is not the day of the blues. There's some excitement going on inside of my heart. And I'm not sure what that means, but all of a sudden you are in the mall and you meet face to face with a neighbor or a cousin or a friend. And the conversation leads almost immediately to the supernatural because they just watched the movie. He said, you're a religious guy. What do you think about that? Who knows what's going to happen? Amen? As we present ourselves as men and women who have heard that God is with us. The community has heard that God is with us. God's having something, and this is one of the reasons why I had to share this word for you today, because it's so loud. The revival is so loud. I mean spiritually, emotionally, in every way. You can't miss it. While the news reports give you all the bad news, there's several universities in America that have got good news. And do you think it could come to Camrose and Wetaskiwin, Ponoka, amen, Musquashese, Killam? I hear, brother, some of you know the mayor in Killam. Is a friend of mine. He's a pastor. And Ben, pardon me. Yeah. I'll get his last name. Ben Kellert. The first time we met him was in Barhead many years ago. We had services with him. But he's been a pastor for many years. And now he pastors a church in Killam. And they bought the movie theater. So they show movies. They're in control of movies in their town. And doing a great thing. And now they have organized, I don't think they've got as far west as Camrose or Wetaskiwin, but up until Bolf, they might have come that far, where Christians from those little villages and towns are gathering together, and Ben and pastors are going with them from town to town and having a prayer meeting for revival in Alberta. Isn't that something? That's just one thing. You know how many good things are happening? You and I don't know the answer to that because the media doesn't print that, you know? And so God help us to do something besides the media. Amen. And I forgot to bring it along. I was going to bring you. I think they're visiting about 12 churches. And having prayer meeting. Where's it going to go after that? I don't know. But praise God that they took the initiative to do this. Amen. We have heard that God is with you. The guy who writes some of this, he says, my born-again experience happened in 1978. Even though it was the tail end of the Jesus movement, the waves of living water were still breaking over the levees. To this day, I have never experienced a community of people who love Jesus so much. Speaking of the 1970 revival, with all these, you know, flower children and so on. And one church opened its doors to these people. And it started a whole movement. Amen. That 1970 caused, some of you that are old enough to remember that, will remember about the revival and how, you know, a lot of churches weren't expecting to let them in because they didn't dress like they drove, you know, all the what-ifs. He says, this man, I talked to one of my best friends yesterday who was part of that same church in 1978. And then he says this, every time I look at what's happening in Asbury, I start to cry. It feels like it did back in 1970. All I could do when I came into the revival was to fall on my face and cry. And today, that's what's happening. People crying out to God, saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, help me to be whole on the inside. Help me, Lord, to obey you. Help me, O Lord, to be a follower of yours to the degree that people in the community will know there's something different about you. There's something so real about you. Many of you are probably already doing that. You've got a prayer meeting going in your home. You're praying for your neighbor. Somebody talked to you about breaking a bone in their body on the bicycle. And you're empathizing with them and you're praying for them, believing God for them. Not to put on a show, but it's the thing to do. How do we show people? And you know how many people will stop? You know, he said, you know, could I pray for you? And they're limping. And by all means, I said, do you mind if I pray right here? Oh, no, that'd be good. So on the trail, it becomes a happy trail. Amen. And the opportunities are humongous today. Everywhere you look, as many of you are shaking your heads, you know what I'm talking about. There's so many opportunities, so much goodwill, so many good things happening in our world. And you and I can promote the good, but just leave the bad on the side. They're not going to help anybody. But hope, I love this, and I'll close with this. Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The God we serve is a God of hope. He's not a God of despair. God's not up in heaven rubbing his hands. Oh, look at those people down there. What are we going to do now? Oh, my goodness. No, no, he knows exactly what he's going to do. He's going to use you and me to bring good news to our world. Amen? He's going to use us to bring blessing and hope. He's going to use us to discover that God is with us. Amen. Wow. Romans 14, verse, I think, 13 or something like that. And the God of hope. So next time you pray, remember you're talking to the God of hope. He's not the God of despair. He isn't losing his mind. He's not terrible about what's going on. God knows what he's doing. He's the God of hope. May you be filled with joy and peace in believing that you may get a teaspoonful of hope. No, that you may abound in hope. Truckloads of it. God wants you to have a truckload of hope. Amen? Let's stand together as we pray. Father, we praise you today for who you are, for what you mean to us. Lord, how good you are, how incredibly important you are in our lives, and how important and valuable every living individual here, Lord, in this room today, is so valuable to you that you would allow your Son, Jesus Christ, to be crucified, to be nailed to a cross, to suffer the pain and the agony that has never been suffered by anybody before or since. Because the suffering of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was not only physical, it was emotional, it was spiritual. It was all of the pain that the world has ever endured. God, help us, Lord, to throw our arms around you and say, Jesus, you're so good to us. What you've done for us is so amazing. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for knocking on the door of our house. Thank you for coming into our lives. Today we want to follow you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts. And we pray that the spirit of revival is going to happen here. Here in our own cities and towns and villages. Lord, that we're going to see the spirit of revival breathe upon our cities and villages in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. I pray right now for anyone here today that is saying to me, Glenn, I just need a prayer. Whatever different things we talked about today, we talked about several things. But if there's one of them that really strikes your chord and you're not quite knowing how to do it, where do you go from here? Would you raise your hand? And I'm just going to pray for you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to believe God that the Holy Spirit is going to show you the track to run on. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I just pray for each and every one that lifted their hand and said, Lord, help me to find the way. Help me, Lord, to know how, to know what, to know where. Help me, O Father God, to recognize that you are calling people to seek your face. There may be 10 Jewish people, 10 Ukrainian people, 10 French people, 10 whatever, Lord, out there somewhere that are looking to just touch the hem of somebody's garment because they believe that God is with them, that God is with you, that God is with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, my aunt in Wetaskiwin is going to be 102. In a couple of weeks. And Auntie Helen, how come you're so well? And she's in her own home, cooks her own meals, listens to her TV, prays for the mayor and the council, prays for the premier, prays for the prime minister, prays for them all. How come you're so well? It's the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Never been the same since. That's about 50 years ago. You know? You'd love to meet her. God bless you, Pastor. Amen.